If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Arguments that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's fraud trial wrapped up today, and the defense rested their case, and Manafort did not take the stand. However, he did take a watch, three wallets, and the judge's gavel.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren. But first, a closer look.
President Trump's staffing decisions are really coming back to haunt him this week as his lawyers fumble their response to the Russia probe and his White House feuds with Omarosa. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump spent the weekend engaging in his favorite rainy day activity, tweeting crazy things about the Russia probe. And apparently, Trump's legal team has convinced him that this strategy is working because now they're starting to claim that the investigation is actually going to backfire on special counsel Robert Mueller and his team, as Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani claimed last week.
I've never been involved in an investigation on either side that's more illegitimate than this one, that is so obviously more illegitimate. And I wonder, where's the sense of justice on the part of Mueller, on the part of the Justice Department? The real story here is not that this case isn't going to fizzle. It's going to blow up on them.
It's going to blow up on them. You already look like you got blown up. Rudy looks like Uncle Leo after his stove exploded and he had to paint on new eyeballs. Trump's legal team is doing everything they can to put off an interview with Mueller. And in the process, they're basically admitting that Trump cannot be trusted to tell the truth, as Giuliani made clear last week when he accused Mueller of trying to trap Trump into committing perjury.
He knows the answers to every question that he wants to ask. He's going to ask him, did you tell Comey to go easy on Flynn? The president is going to say, no, I didn't. Hey, Bob, you know it. Well, why do you want to get him under oath? You think we're fools? You want to get him under oath because you want to trap him into perjury. Well, we're not going to let you do that.
If there was ever a trap tailor-made for Trump, it's a perjury trap. That or chicken under a box. Now, Mueller wants to interview Trump on two separate topics, collusion and obstruction of justice. Trump's lawyers have ruled out questions on obstruction because they claim Mueller already knows the answers. But in reality, they can't even seem to get their own story straight on what happened. On Friday, Giuliani and one of Trump's other lawyers, Jay Sekulow, guest-hosted Sean Hannity's radio show and discussed the case. That's right. For some reason, Trump's legal team hosted a radio show. The president of the United States is being represented in the Russia investigation by the Z100 Zoo Crew. You're listening to Rudy and Jay Bird in the morning on WHUN, The Witch Hunt. The entire show was crazy. First, they repeated their claim that Mueller was trying to trap Trump into committing perjury, with Sekulow offering a truly ludicrous explanation for how such a trap might work.
We're going to make the right advice to our client. There will be no perjury trap. I've said that. You've said that on air. There's no perjury trap here. We're not going to allow it.
No. I mean, that's so obviously one of the things they're trying to do.
When you say a perjury trap, in other words, here's you've got one witness that says this is what happened, and then you got another witness that recalls, well, no, that's not how I recall it. It happened this way. And does then someone write up a report and say, well, we believe this one, we don't believe that one, thus it's perjury?
Okay, first of all, that's not how it works. They don't just interview two people. You're thinking of lawyers who are bad at their jobs, like you guys. I can't interview more than two people. Where am I going to find the time to host my radio show? Second, let's say they did only interview two people. One of those witnesses has contemporaneous memos to back up his story, and the other witness has lied about everything from his net worth to his inauguration crowds to whether or not he watches CNN.
You look at, like, a CNN, they'll have a council of seven people, and of the seven people, every one of them is against me. I'm saying, where do they even find these people?
I'm not your doctor, Mr. President, but I would recommend you watch less of them.
I don't watch them at all.
Did he just describe CNN and then moments later say he never watches CNN? Oh, that's a perjury trap.
Perjury trap!
Giuliani also seems very hazy about the actual details of the case, like whether Trump told then-FBI Director James Comey to drop his investigation of Trump's first national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Trump insists he never asked Comey to do that. But Giuliani says that even if he did, it's not a crime. On Sunday, Giuliani went on CNN to clarify and only made things worse by changing his story yet again and insisting that the conversation with Comey never happened at all.
I just want to be clear exactly what happened in that conversation with Comey about Michael Flynn. What exactly did President Trump say?
There was no conversation about Michael Flynn.
But, Mr. Mayor, you told ABC News last month that the president told Comey, quote, can you give him a break? Now you're saying that they never had...
I never told ABC that. That's crazy. I mean, I never said that.
So you're saying that President Trump and James Comey never discussed Michael Flynn?
That is what he will testify to if he's asked that question.
And you're also saying that a month ago you didn't tell ABC News that he said something along the lines of, can you give him a break?
No, I did not.
There you go. Rudy insists he never told ABC that Trump said give him a break. Well, Rudy better get the Sharpie ready because this one's about to blow up in his face.
I just want to play the sound so people understand why I asked the question.
Sure. Okay.
How is he a good witness for the president if he's saying that the president was asking him, directing him, in his words, to let the Michael Flynn investigation go?
He didn't direct him to do that. What he said to him was, can you give
Comey
him a break?
Comey says
can you give him a break? You said that.
You lied to Jake Tapper. And you know what they call that? A perjury tap.
Perjury tap.
While his lawyers struggled to get their story straight, Trump himself was attacking the legitimacy of the Russia investigation. On Saturday, he once again slammed his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions, for not intervening to shut down the Russia probe, tweeting, I've never seen anything so rigged in my life. Our AG is scared stiff and missing in action. Okay, first of all, when Sessions is scared, he doesn't get stiff. He scurries back into his mushroom house and sips broth from an acorn cap. Second, you've never seen anything so rigged in your life? You know what's rigged? Your life. You're a billionaire celebrity who dated models and became president despite being a notorious idiot and open racist who had four bankruptcies and been sued thousands of times. Trump was born on third base and thinks he scored a touchdown because he doesn't know how the rules work. But Trump must really, at this point, Trump must really be regretting some of his hiring choices this week. And it's not just his lawyers who are making his life worse. On top of everything else, the president and his White House are now mired in a feud with his former confidant, Omarosa Manigault-Newman.
Omarosa versus the White House. The president's longtime friend and former employee, Omarosa goes scorched earth about her former boss and workplace.
Omarosa is now out with a new book. It's called Unhinged. It provides an inside look at both the Trump campaign and the White House.
Omarosa unveiling what she says are secret recordings she made inside the White House Situation Room when Chief of Staff John Kelly fired her.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders slamming Manigault Newman as a disgruntled former employee.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the book is filled with lies and false accusations.
Donald Trump slams his reality TV protege, calling Omarosa wacky.
Now, Omarosa's book is full of sensational allegations. Here's just one example. Omarosa writes, and this is a real excerpt, that in early 2017, she walked Michael Cohen, then Trump's personal attorney, into the Oval Office for a meeting with Trump and allegedly saw the president chewing up a piece of paper while Cohen was leaving the office. I saw him put a note in his mouth. Since Trump was ever the germaphobe, I was shocked he appeared to be chewing and swallowing the paper. It must have been something very, very sensitive. I'm so torn on whether to believe this story. On the one hand, Omarosa has very little credibility because she spent years shilling for the world's most notorious liar, Donald Trump. On the other hand, if your favorite food is well-done steak, how far away is paper really? Also, I love that Trump was eating paper to hide things while everyone around him had microphones strapped to their chest. But then after that story came out, Cohen, who set up a secret shell company to silence women Trump had affairs with and is under investigation for tax fraud and soliciting bribes, and who also secretly taped Trump, came to Trump's defense tweeting to the many dozens of journalists who called me questioning Omarosa's claim in her new book that POTUS, real Donald Trump, took a note from me, put in his mouth, and ate it. I saw no such thing, and I'm shocked anyone would take this seriously. So now we have one liar who admits she lied in the past, claiming she's telling the truth now about the liar she worked for, and a third liar who's under investigation for lying, who taped the first liar to prove he wasn't lying, said the second liar is lying about the first liar. I'm starting to think either none of this happened or they all ate pieces of paper. But Omarosa apparently knows her credibility is in doubt because she's been releasing excerpts of her secret tapes to prove her side of the story. Yesterday, NBC aired one of those tapes, a conversation Chief of Staff John Kelly had with Omarosa when Kelly fired her in the White House Situation Room.
I'd like to see this be a friendly departure. There are pretty significant legal issues that we hope don't develop into something that... that will make it ugly for you.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of what's going on?
Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion. So the staff and everyone on the staff works for me, not the president. And so after your departure, I'll inform him if he gets interested on where you may be.
Move over, Omarosa, because John Kelly just threw some shade that would make any reality star proud. Does my boss know you're firing me? I'll tell him if he ever notices you're gone. You can just imagine Trump 6 months later in the Oval Office screaming, "Where's Omarosa? I'm starving. Tell her to bring me some paper." So now that he's bogged down in a ridiculous feud with an aide who's as good as he is at orchestrating a reality show spectacle, Trump is suddenly slamming the credibility of a person who was once one of his closest confidants and supporters.
He tweets, "While I know it's not presidential to take on a lowlife like Omarosa, and while I would rather not be doing so, this is a modern-day form of communication, and I know the fake news media will be working overtime to make even wacky Omarosa look legitimate as possible. Sorry."
You know what made Omarosa look legitimate? Putting her in the White House. You can't hire people to work in the most powerful office in the world, paid by taxpayers, and then when they turn on you, say, "That person's a crazy liar and no one should trust them." I can't wait until Trump's forced to resign and President Mike Pence tweets, "Please ignore this disgruntled employee. He has no credibility." Because this is what happens. This is what happens when you're a con artist who surrounds yourself with other con artists. You think you're picking everyone else's pockets, and then one day you reach for your own wallet, and it's not there, and you look up and see Michael Cohen's eating it. Con artists always think they can get away with their con, but as a wise lawyer once said, eventually...
it's gonna blow up on them.
This has been a closer look. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest is United States Senator representing Massachusetts. Please welcome back to the show, Senator Elizabeth Warren, everyone. How are you?
I am great.
I'm so happy to hear this. I know that you go back from recess tomorrow.
Yes.
So tell me, during the recess, do you miss it? Do you miss your colleagues? Do you miss your colleagues from the other side of the aisle?
Let me put it this way. I am ready to get back in the fight.
All right. There you go.
That's my job.
Wonderful to hear. I will say, your message is a very strong one. I find it very counter to what your favorite show is. When I think of what Elizabeth Warren's favorite show is, I would not guess that it is Ballers.
That's true.
Okay. Because you didn't tweet to all the reporters tweeting at me about the season premiere of Ballers on Sunday night at 10 p.m. like I haven't had this date saved on my calendar for months. I know.
True. I know.
You know. And by the way, someone else noticed your tweet. This is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the star of Ballers. You reporters better put some respect on Senator Warren's name. She is ready for our season premiere of Ballers. And then, thank you, Senator, for the support. I feel we'll deliver our best yet. You have a big rock-size hug coming when I see you.
Whoa.
I mean, that is...
That's good.
I would say a rock-size hug is both very exciting and also very terrifying. Just be a little careful about a rock-size hug. You were here in 2014, and it seems very long ago. You were considered, at the time, the far-left end of the Democratic Party. There has been a progressive wave, it seems, post the 2016 election. Are you surprised it took this long, or are you relieved that it's finally happening?
Oh, look, I look at this as people are starting to ask the fundamental question, who does government work for? And boy, has that become even clearer over the last year and a half. The Republicans passed this gigantic tax giveaway, $1.5 trillion, to giant corporations and bazillionaires. That's who they think government should work for, that the rich and the powerful should get richer and more powerful. My view on this, and a lot of folks around this country, is no, government ought to work for the people. And that's what this fight is all about. That's how I see this.
Was it frustrating for you, having been a politician who'd always talked about the middle class and actually taken steps to protect the middle class, to see Donald Trump also frame himself as a hero of the middle class?
Sure, but now it's not even about the words. It's about what have you actually done. You give away $1.5 trillion to the richest and most powerful among us. I just want to think for a minute. What you really could do if you were investing that money in America. And on this, I want to say, for me, this is really personal because this is about how government works. I grew up in one of these paycheck to paycheck families. My daddy ended up as a janitor. My mom worked a minimum wage job at Sears. My chance in life was a $50 a semester commuter college. I grabbed it and hung on, and I got to be a public school teacher. I got to be a college professor, and I got to be a United States senator, all because America invested in kids like me. I believe in that, America. I believe in that, America.
Do you take, solace is a weird word, but do you find it notable that right now as we come towards the midterms, it seems as though the Republican Party is not actually running on this tax bill they passed, which is the signature achievement of the first half of Donald Trump's term in office.
And stinks like three-week-old garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are, somewhere else every time anything about that tax bill comes up. You know, and that's what's remarkable about this. They passed it knowing it was unpopular. You know, it's not like people changed their minds. They passed it knowing it was unpopular, figured, hey, they'd spend a few bazillion dollars outrunning ads on it, and the American people would fall for it. And here's the deal. It's more unpopular now than it was when it passed, because I think that really is the heart of where America is. I think we still fundamentally, down at our core, believe in the things we can do together. Believe in the things like healthcare is a basic human right, and our kids should be able to get an education without getting crushed by debt, and that seniors should be able to retire with some dignity, and that we're willing to pull together, to pitch in some of our money, to try to make that happen, to build a better future for ourselves and for our kids.
It does seem as though one of the things, when you talk about how the rich are being taken care of, money is obviously playing a huge role in politics. And I feel as though the Democratic Party also has to answer for the large amounts of corporate money they've taken over the years. You don't take corporate PAC money, but do you think that the Democratic Party has to take a stronger stand against taking corporate money, or is that just the price of doing business?
So look, I've been worried for a very long time about the impact of money in Washington. You know, money just doesn't talk in Washington. It shouts, it screams, it commands. But let's never lose sight of the fact that the Trump administration is the most corrupt administration in our lifetime. We can't forget. And think about example after example that right now the Saudis can funnel money directly, indirectly into Trump's pockets through the Trump Hotel, that the head of the Environmental Protection Agency is a coal lobbyist. And can I tell you about Gary Cohn?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, so here's the deal. So Trump is setting up his administration. This is a year and a half ago. He's setting up his administration. He brings in all these Goldman Sachs guys. I swear to you, they could have opened a branch office of Goldman Sachs right there in the White House.
And it should be noted, this is the same Goldman Sachs that Donald Trump railed against Hillary Clinton for giving paid speeches to.
Exactly that one. Okay, so he brings in these Goldman Sachs people, but one of them was very special. Gary Cohn was a major executive at Goldman Sachs, and he is going to be the special advisor to the president, economic advisor, to help get the tax laws changed. So Goldman Sachs gives Gary Cohn a little gift on the way out, $1 billion. I think of it as a sort of pre-bribe. And then Gary Cohn goes off and writes the tax laws, helps ram them through Congress, and Goldman Sachs makes billions of dollars off the change in the tax laws. Let's call this out for what it is: corruption, pure and simple.
You mentioned the Saudis. I also want to ask about this because I feel like we tend to get so focused on what's happening in D.C. and what's specifically happening with this presidency. You wrote a letter today, I believe, to the commander of Central Command about this horrific bombing in Yemen, bombing that killed civilians, killed children. This is Saudi. This is the UAE. But it is U.S.-backed in that munitions, in that refueling and intelligence. Can you explain a little about what you asked for in that letter?
Sure. So this is an unfolding humanitarian crisis. And the United States is not dropping bombs, but it is helping the Saudis with arms. It's helping the Saudis with refueling. And it now appears it's helping the Saudis target and pinpoint. I think that if the United States is going to be that directly involved in a humanitarian crisis, then the American people have a right to know exactly what's going on.
I agree with you, and I'm very glad that you asked that question. Hopefully we'll get answers. My last question, obviously we have Justice Kavanaugh. Might be, yes. Justice Kavanaugh. He is Trump's pick for the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me that maybe progressives are not making the same push to stop this that they had made to, say, stop the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Do you think this is something that enough effort's being put behind, or do you think it's basically a done deal and he's going to be our next justice?
So, you know, look, it is not a done deal. Donald Trump has made his nomination, and he picked somebody off a list that has been pre-screened by not one, but two right-wing extremist groups.
I will say it's just refreshing that anyone screened someone that Donald Trump picked. Usually just opens the door and, like, lets in 15 people.
But not this time.
Okay, gotcha.
Not this time, because one of the groups, the founder of the group's number one goal is to overturn Roe versus Wade. So think about what that screen is, that he made it onto this list. The other group, very hostile to government protecting health care for all Americans. So just last night, I was in Boston, and I got to say, we were doing a rise up for Roe, you know, out there in the fight. Because here's the deal about this. I remember the night that Donald Trump was sworn in. And I remember thinking healthcare could disappear for tens of millions of Americans by next week, because they now have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House, they have the votes. And I thought, what have we got left to fight with? And the answer is All we got left is each other. We've got the ability to come together, to raise our voices, to be strong, to fight back, to make sure that this Washington hears us. And over health care, I'm thinking, where do we get this army? And the next morning after the inauguration, anyone remember the women? The largest protest rally in the history of the world. So, I get it. You bet. Here's what I see happening. Yeah, Donald Trump is on the attack and he's trying to roll back protection for women, Roe versus Wade, probably roll back a lot of other protections with Judge Kavanaugh's nomination. He would be the deciding vote on all of these critical issues. But at the very same moment that Donald Trump is trying to do this, democracy itself is changing. It changed with the Women's March. It changed when people went to the airports after Trump tried to put a Muslim ban in place. It changed when people went down to Washington, the mamas of babies with complex medical needs, people who use wheelchairs, who got right up in the face of Republican senators. It keeps changing as more people come off the sidelines. 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds after the shooting in Florida said, I'm in this fight. I'm going to make sure my government hears from me. So that's what it takes. And I believe we can do this.
All right. Well, have fun at work tomorrow. I hope you enjoy your return. Thank you so much for being back here. It's always a pleasure. Senator Elizabeth Warren, everybody.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.